Hey! First and foremost, want to say, recording on the iPad. I don't have my mic right now. Don't really know where I put it. I think it's at my parents' house because I moved and I don't think I brought it with me. So I'm recording off an iPad. Also, yeah, no intro. There won't be an outro. Getting rid of those because I just don't want them anymore. Not because they're bad, but because I don't want them anymore. If you know anybody or yourself makes music or like beats or anything, like I was even thinking of like maybe dabbling. What is the word? Dabbling? There we go. Dabbling and like, well, maybe I can make something up. I don't know. I don't think my skill set is there. So if you know anybody or you yourself is like, hey, I feel like I can make an intro and outro, let me know. I am willing to pay. But yeah, no intro and outro, so we're going straight into it. It's been months. I'm not even going to waste time in giving you an excuse. It's literally the same excuse every single time. Maybe I'll be more candid. But yeah, I think I was supposed to put this out like June, July. And literally I was doing all like the promo stuff, like this is the title, this is like the collage, and I was gonna put it out, and then I end up in the hospital, I ended up in the ER. I'll probably tell a longer version in the next episode because I want to do like a free dress episode of like everything you missed on Glee. But yeah, I ended up in the hospital because I had a really bad asthma attack. An asthma attack that makes you go to the ER and spend some time there. And the kicker was, I had no insurance. So that was a whole experience in itself. And during that time too, I just started a new job. So I was doing like training for this job and I was freaking out because I couldn't literally be at the training like online. I had to miss a day and use PTO that I didn't have yet. So that was fun. But yeah. That was happening, and then I was like, oh, I'll bounce back, like, I'll get back into it, and I'll make the episode, and I just never did, because, like, I fell, like, into, a, like, a deeper depression. Yeah, and I think the fear of having to come back and do something that I haven't done in a really, really long time just, like, set in, and then I was like, oh, a month passed by, like, it'll be weird if I come back, and then 2 months passed by, and I'm like, oh, they probably forgot me, and then 3 months passed by, I'm like, never mind, people did not forget, and then 4 months passed by, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore, I hate everything, and, like, as time passed, I literally was just like, there's never gonna be a good time to start this again, and I, like, battled with the thought of, like, maybe I don't even like this shit anymore. Like, what if I hate this and, like, I just want to stop and it's, like, kicking a dead horse. But then, like, the more I, like, sat with myself and thought about, like, what do I actually like? What do I actually want to do in my free time? What are my hobbies? This is one of those things. Like, not everyone here was here when this was originally a radio show. And this, like, whole idea of, like, unreliable narrators started during COVID and me being stuck in my room and wanting to just, like, tell stories and play the music that I liked that gave the stories, like, more, like, a oomph. Like, if you were a part of that era, like, you were so lucky because I, of course, got flagged on Spotify because I put those episodes on. I used to put those episodes on Spotify and then they're like, hey, copyright music. And I was like, fuck. So they removed them all, and they lived in a Google Drive for some time, and I made that accessible to all of you via the Instagram on a Google Drive. But then people who are spoken about in those episodes spoke up and were like, yeah, I don't want you to talk about me or any of this stuff, and got kind of upset spaghetti at me. So I was like, oh, like, so I'm removing all of those. So I removed, like, everything from the Google Drive, so no one has access to it, unless you're someone very, very close to me. Some folks have access. I've shared that, the drive, with them because they want to listen. And, like, moving forward, I think this is really fucked me up, because those people said they did not want to be spoken about in those episodes, or, like, things, like, stories pertaining to them or their involvement in them. They did not want me to talk about them. It, like, took away a lot of, not, like, the heart of the show, but, like, the reason why I did it. Because this is, like, a form of therapy to me. Like, I love telling stories and processing things, like, through Unreliable Narrator. And having people tell me I couldn't say those things made me, like, really angry and upset. So it made me think, like, oh, I have nothing to fucking say anymore, because it took away, like, a whole chunk of, like, stories and a whole chunk of my life. Like, I don't know. So it just, like, discouraged me hella. And I don't know. I forget that I'm depressed and, like, I have other things going on with me that might influence my mood and my motivation. At my current job, like, I basically teach, like, DBT skills. Two people, like two kids, like two youth, I'll call them youth because they're not necessarily kids, they're older than that. And one of the things that we talk about, how like depression, one of the things that happens is like you lose motivation. Like you lose motivation, whether it be you lose motivation to take care of yourself, like you neglect hygiene, you neglect your friends, like you ghost people, it's harder for you to reach out to people or even like talk to friends like you usually do, and like also like losing interest in hobbies. That was me. Like, I completely lost interest in hobbies. I saw a TikTok the other day, and it was like a quick video, and like the overlay text was like, I used to paint, or like, I used to draw. And I literally started crying off of that shit because I used to. Like, I really did. And sometimes when I go to my old, like, when I go to my parents' house and I look into my closet, I see like this basket full of like old canvases and like half done like art pieces. And it just, like, I don't know, like, it feels like a punch in the gut, 'cause it just brings me back to a time of like Eleanor. I was really going through it. I was still sad, but I still engaged in my hobbies. I still painted. I still drew. I was really into clothes. So I used to paint on my clothes. Like, I was really into that. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't do any of it anymore. And it's not because like I don't have the time. Like, I just don't have the motivation to draw to any capacity, whether it be like on my iPad or like in a sketchbook or anything. Like, I just don't have the motivation. And that, I'm one of those people, like, I grew up with a dad that was very like tiger dad, like, you need to be the best of the best. So, like, not having motivation to do anything like makes me feel like a loser. So I think that's why I just like never returned at, like, at all. And on my drive today, I was like, today is the day. Like, yes, I don't have a mic. Yes, the audio is probably gonna be shit at times, and it's probably gonna crack, and it's probably gonna sound crazy, but I want to do this right now because I have the motivation, and I don't know if it's gonna flee, like it's gonna leave. But this is something that I do love, and I do like I want to get back into, because it brought me so much joy at one point, and like this is my form of art and like self-expression. I don't even know why this is making me emotional, but like it is. Because like nostalgia, like last year, I feel like the theme for me was like nostalgia. I always look at nostalgia with such like fondness. Like, I love nostalgia. I love feeling nostalgic, until like I realized if you constantly chase like nostalgia and like want to feel nostalgic, so you always try to put yourself in situations to remind you of other things, it's like nostalgia to me is like if I were to anchor myself to a tree and then wonder why I'm like not getting anywhere in life. Like, all I do is think about the past and think about like, oh, like back in 2021 or whatever. I don't even know when I started Unreliable Narrator, when I was in UCA Radio. I was so happy. Like, it was so fucking good. Like, even if it was just like five people listening to me, like the production of it all, like how much effort I put into it was so amazing. Like, I don't have that anymore. And like me just living there, like again, it's like me anchored to a tree. Like, I'm not moving anywhere. The more I press myself for the fact that, like, oh, you're not like how you were at the beginning, like that shit's annoying. Like, I'm not getting anywhere thinking like that. And then it gets to a point where I'm like bargaining with my past selves of like, oh, if I do this and this, like maybe I'll get the motivation back. Like, maybe if I'm like, I start talking to these people again, maybe I start putting myself in these spaces again, like I'll find the motivation again. It's like bargaining, but it's like I'm never going to get to that point in life anymore because that time has passed. Like, hello? Like, girl, be fucking for real. And it might be so easy for other people to not like think of things like really realistically and logically. And I will say, like, I'm a very like logic-centered person. Like, if I take my Myers-Briggs, mine is not feeling, it's logic. But when it comes to like stuff like that, that feel like more gray area, more like nuance, like I cannot think logically. I can't think black and white, right and wrong, success or failure. Like, I can't think like that when I need to. And it just, like, makes me feel stuck. Like, I was so stuck 2025. And it was a lot, like, what was that? What did Kylie Jenner say? Was it Kendall or Kylie that was like, this is the year of, like, realizing things? That was my 2025. I really realized, like, there were things that I was doing, like, coping behaviors that were not good, that I was doing that was really, like, fucking with me. Like, when I was at the hospital, like, literally asthma attack, had the nebulizer on, and I was, like, literally dying. I'll get more into how I felt. Like, that was a whole fucking time, y'all. I wanted to die. Like, not even to be like, they're going to kill myself. Like, I wanted to die. I literally was like, I want to die here. Like, just let me die, because I was in so much pain. And I started reflecting on, like, all my decisions. And I put myself in that position. Like, I've always had asthma. I've always had asthma. And I've been so good about it. Like, I've done nothing to, like, hurt my lungs further than they're already fucking hurt. Like, I did sports in high school. I did swimming when I was younger, because apparently swimming is, like, good for when you have asthma. Like, I took care of myself because breathing was already difficult. And then I went to college, and it's like, when I was, like, 19, I felt like I was unstoppable. Like, nothing could fucking touch me. Like, you're joking. Like, I'll walk around at night at 1 o'clock in the morning at San Jose by myself, because nothing fucking matters, with earbuds in, nothing can fucking touch me. Like, that's how I was. And I did shit that ruined my lungs. I ruined my lungs, and I just continued to ruin them. And again, still thinking, oh, I'm built different. I'm built different, until I fucking wasn't. And I think it was a year where I already graduated college, and I was working in LA. And I was like, oh, like, again, I was doing things I probably wasn't supposed to be doing. And I was like, no, I'm built different. And then I had an asthma attack, and I had to leave work because I literally could not breathe. And I was given, like, steroids, antibiotics, all this shit, because that's what happens when you have an asthma attack. They give you a bunch of medication because your lungs are weak as fuck. And I was like, oh, like, I've never had an asthma attack. Like, I literally never had an asthma attack growing up, like, at all. I've gone close because of, like, when I used to, like, do sports and stuff, but never to the extent where, like, I fully had one. I always had an inhaler, and I would always take care of myself. But, like, that one time, like, I couldn't take care of myself because, one, I didn't have an inhaler because I fucking didn't take care of myself. And I was already hurting my lungs. And I'm, like, over here all surprised at work. Like, why am I gasping for air? Like, that's so weird. And then going to the ER and then being like, yeah, you're having an asthma attack. And then having to pay for all this medication. And then last year in May, being like, oh, like, doing things I'm not supposed to be doing, having that asthma attack, vowing to myself I was never going to do the things that I was doing because that really was fucking up my lungs. Then I proceeded to do it again. And then I realized, like, I'm not the person I was, like, when I was younger. I had, like, so much, like, how do I say this? I had a lot of discipline. I had a lot of discipline. Like, I knew what was good for me and what was not good for me. And when I was able to be disciplined, like, what was that J. Cole song? Like, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, some shit like that. Like, I literally was playing myself every single time and then wondering, like, oh, what? Like, why is this happening to me? Brother, it's because you fucking don't take care of yourself. You're not built different, actually. That's what's crazy. And, like, despite being in the hospital and literally wishing death upon myself, like, I literally just wanted to die because I was in so much pain. 2 months, 3 months later, I proceeded to do the same thing that made me end up in the hospital again. And that's when I knew, I was like, like, you're literally not well. You're like, you kind of need help, girl. And it took so much to admit to the people around me that I needed help. Like, I needed help, and I needed outside people to, like, hold me accountable because I couldn't hold myself accountable. Like, I had no will to. And, like, the same with, like, this show. Like, I need people to help me and to realize, like, hey, do you actually want to do this shit or do you not? Because in my head, I'm like, oh, of course. And then got to the point where, like, I didn't do it at all. And, like, I just, like, I didn't know what I wanted. And then I started listening to this, like, true crime podcast. And, like, their episodes are, like, 34 minutes, 24 minutes. And then I realized, like, I put these nasty expectations on myself of how I should engage in a hobby, because this is literally a hobby. And I'm like, it has to be an hour. It has to be an hour from the minute it starts to the minute it ends. Entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. It has to be so fucking good every single time. To the point where I didn't even do it at all because of those expectations. And, like, I needed someone to push me a little bit. And I did have that, like, people push me and be like, if you like that shit and all you keep talking about is, like, what if you're gonna go back? Like, maybe you're gonna do it. You don't know. Like, just fucking do it and see how you feel. And I was like, wait, you're kind of real. Because the more I was putting it off, the more I didn't want to do it. But the more I complained about how I stopped doing it. Like, girl, you're trying to blame other people, but really it's just you, girl. Like, you're complaining about something you have so much control over. And that goes to my next point of, like, I was reading The Bell Jar, and that's, like, the whole point of, like, this episode, which was, like, I feel like, y'all, I was kind of foreshadowing, like, this episode, it was gonna be, like, how I've just been having, like, a shit time, but I was on the ups. What's crazy, I was never on the ups. It was literally just a lie. Like, I think it was my friend Maya, she literally clocked me, because I'm the type of person, like, I have a bad day where I'm like, yeah, I'm having a bad day, but, like, I'll be okay. And she was like, you know you don't have to fucking say that, right? Like, you can just say you have a bad day. Like, you don't have to say, like, but it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. Like, you literally can just sit in having a bad day. Like, you don't have to have, like, a call to action or, like, solve your issues right away. Like, you can just sit and be like, oh, this fucking sucks. And I was like, oh, that's an option? Because I grew up, like, if you have a bad day, like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, suck it up, put it away, like, forget about it and just keep it pushing. And that's how, like, the initial idea for this episode was, like, yeah, I'm having, like, such a horrible day, but, like, a horrible time, and, like, this year has been really shit, but, like, look at me, like, I'm gonna do great, like, there's so much that I wanna get done, blah, 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 but it's, like, I'm really talking out of my ass, like, the motivation wasn't there, like I fucking said, like, I didn't care about myself, I didn't want better for myself, like, I had no discipline, I was pointing at other people for the reason why I was the way I was. And I will say there are, like, outside sources that will contribute to, like, if I'm, like, I'm so upset about my current situation at my job, like, the job market is so hard, blah, blah, blah. It's okay to point the finger at the fucking job market. If you yourself is, like, really qualified, you're really motivated and stuff like that, it's okay to point the finger at the fucking job market. If you're someone, like, who wants to buy a house and you're like, oh my god, like, I can't even afford a house, I've been renting, like, I'm 27 and I keep renting, like, or, like, whatever age you are, and it's okay to blame the housing crisis and how housing is so fucking bad, and especially if you live in the Bay or California, period, it's so fucking hard if you want to buy a house in this day and age. Like, it's okay to point your finger at that shit. Like, there's stuff that are so out of our control that it's okay for us to bitch and moan about it. Like, literally, it's fine. But for myself, I was pointing my finger at people. Like, at people. Like, you are the reason why I am depressed. You are the reason why I, like, I can't do X, Y, and Z. You're the reason why I, like, fucked up my lungs or when things like that. Because, like, I fucked up my lungs because my coping behavior fucked up my lungs. Whatever. But then it gets to a point, literally, when you're pointing the finger at this one person, it's like, what do you want from this one person? What can they do to make your life better? Like, what? Like, for me, I wanted this person to say, I'm sorry to me. Like, I wanted this person to be a better person to me. Like, I wanted them to work on our, like, our relationship. I wanted that from them. But the thing about that is, like, that's not in my control, like, at all. How they behave, how they treat me, how they talk to me. Like, that's so out of my control. Like, I can have some influence. I can have talks with them, tell them how I want to be treated, tell them what I need from them. They can listen to me and maybe change, but they can also not. So it's like I'm pointing my finger at somebody and, like, putting, like, my happiness in their court and be like, I'll only be happy once you are nicer to me. Or if you say I'm sorry for how you treated me in the past. Like, I don't know if that's ever gonna fucking happen. And that is so hard to get through your fucking head, especially if you were someone that's like, I know I'm that person. I didn't want to point the finger at me. Because it does get to a point where it's like, no longer that person's problem. I'm not saying like what they did was okay or whatever, but it's like, dude, like, it's like waiting for rain in a drought. It's never gonna fucking come. And if you're gonna put all your eggs in that basket and throw the ball into their court and wait for them, you're gonna be waiting forever. Like, don't do that. And that's what I did. And I realized, I was like, I'm still fucking miserable, and this person is just living their life so happily, like, happily, and, like, doing the best that they can, like, living, laughing, loving, and I'm over here, like, waiting for the day that they, like, come to me and be like, oh, Eleanor, I'm so sorry how I treated you for the past, like, 20 years, 24 years of your life. Like, yeah, I realize I'm not gonna get that. Like, I'm not. And the more I sit here and bitch and moan and go, the woe is me, that's my fault. Like, that's my fault now. Because I know that it's not going to come if I put that all on that other person and I have no control on how this person behaves. Like, that's all on me now. And that shit's hard because no one ever wants to blame themselves for why they are not doing so hot. That is so hard. Like, it's so much easier to put the blame on everybody else but you. But that's like, that's so human of you to actually acknowledge that you were in the wrong. Like, I am in the wrong. I am in the wrong. That's what I learned in 2025. I am in the wrong. I am stunting my own growth. I was pointing my fucking nasty finger at everybody else, but really it was me. It was me. And it's hard to think of it that way. It's really hard. And I want to say, like, I don't engage in, like, negative self-talk in that way of, like, oh, it's been my fault all along. Like, I fucking suck. Like, no. But I will be, like, it was, like, a reality check, like, at the same time where I was wishing myself to die, I was like, oh, damn, Eleanor, like, this is your fault. Yeah, it is your fault. And, like, months passed by and I engaged in that behavior that really fucked up my lungs. And when people called me out, I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is my fault. Like, I am a weak-minded bitch. Like, I literally can't stick to anything that I say anymore. Like, I have no discipline. Like, I'm giving loser mentality. Like, I'm really just, like, I'm benching myself without the game. It isn't even starting yet. And I'm already benching myself. I'm counting myself out already. Like, that's so ugly. And that's just how I've been. Like, with 2026, I'm not trying to be that person. I'm like, yo, I got it figured out. But I'm being very intentional with how I'm carrying myself nowadays. And I don't want to disregard how I've carried myself for the past, like, couple of years. I think I have been a great human being. Like, to society, to people, I think I've been a good friend. I have been a good sibling. I've been a good daughter. Could I be better? Yes, but I could always be better. But I'm still proud of the person I was in 2025 because I kept myself afloat to some way, somehow. I don't know how I did, but I did it. Right? Like, I got a new job. I love my new job. I think I'm really fucking good at my new job. Not gonna lie, not to flex. Like, literally, I low-key have a gift, y'all. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, when I go to work, like, sometimes I'm surprised at myself. Like, sometimes I impress myself and I'm like, oh, damn. But if you were to ask me, like, maybe 2 years ago if I could do this, I'd be so negative Nancy about it. And sometimes I do catch myself being like, I'm horrible. Like, I'm not good. But then I sit in and I'm like, no, girl, like, you good. Like, you're really good at this. Like, it's good. Like, you're fine. And I'm slowly, like, figuring out, like, who I want to be and, like, what my hobbies and passions are. Because another thing I realized in 2025, I don't have any goals. Like, I had no goals. There was nothing I wanted to strive for. And I didn't realize, like, I haven't been that way in so long. Like, when you're in elementary school, you can't wait to go to middle school. From middle school, you can't wait to go to high school. High school, you're reaching for college. Then after college, you're reaching for a job. And then, like, what else do you want after that? Like, you want more. Like, maybe you want a house. You want a family. You want to travel, like, you want this job, you want that job. Like, I didn't want shit after I graduated college. Like, I didn't want shit. That's why I had a lot of people in my ear telling me a bunch of stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll just do that because you tell me that I'm going to be good at it. And then I got in it and I was like, wow, I fucking hate this shit. And then I spent, like, a year in, like, limbo doing part-time jobs. And then now I have my full-time job and I'm like, oh, like, I really, really like this, but, like, I don't want this to be my forever. And I never, like, verbalized, like, this. There's, like, a one dream that I have. I've only told, like, a few, like, a handful of this dream, but I'll tell all of y'all. My dream is to own and run a community center. I strongly believe that community centers could genuinely help cities. They just have to be ran by people who actually care about the community that it's based in and actually serve the people that it's based in. Like, I want to be able to, like, provide things school, like, public schools don't have access to, whether it be, like, technology, like, maybe, like, resources, like, people who are, like, scientists, people who are, like, engineers, maybe, like, writers, like, even, like, with radio and stuff, I didn't realize, like, there's arts and, like, colleges that people don't even realize, like, that's an option for you to go pursue because they're not exposed to it when they're younger. And with, like, a really good community center, with really good community outreach, you can really spread education. Like, you don't necessarily have to go to, like, the best school in California when it comes to, like, K through 12 to access, like, good education. And I want to be able to provide that through a community center and just, like, also facilitate and, like, have community events. People always want community, but don't want to be community. People are very, like, individualized thinkers, really care for themselves, out for themselves. And I think it takes special people to actually, like, be the boots on the ground and advocate for these communities, especially when, like, they're not the ones in the room. And that's my dream. Do I think this dream will come true? I don't know. And I think that's what really stopped me forever from ever, like, talking about it out loud, because it's a very big dream of mine. Like, I've done research about, like, how do community centers get started? Like, people basically have to trust you with their money. Yeah. Like, you're gonna have to really sell it and be trusting that your dream, your mission is gonna come to fruition. It's just not, like, you just talking out of your ass. Like, there's so many people, like, when you're in high school, there's some people like, I've created a nonprofit, but really the nonprofit is just a fucking website and they haven't done shit. Like, this is the same with, like, oh, I can say, like, I want a community center, but literally, like, I do nothing with that. Like, I'm right now in the process of trying to get this community center. Will I ever have it again? I don't know. I don't know. But me getting, like, taking the steps in order to, like, get to it is what I'm doing right now. And if all my life, like, I don't even get to have this community center, at least I made the steps into getting there, and I'm content and happy with that. Because I was doing something towards that dream of mine that I wasn't even doing to begin with. Like, again, like, I was benching myself when the game didn't even fucking start. Like, why would I count myself out when no one even fucking told me no yet? Like, that's weird. And even if someone tells me no, that's one person. Who cares? Like, there's more other, like, there's so many other people out there that I can ask. So I'm just trying to, like, be more intentional this year in my decisions and how I carry myself, because I'm real tired with the bargaining that I've been doing with my past selves, like, bargaining to a higher power to give me back 2020, give me back, like, 2017. Bitch, you're not. Like, sucks to suck, but you're not. And, like, realizing that nostalgia can be a beautiful feeling, but you cannot live there. You cannot live there and then throw your hands up in the air and wonder why you haven't made any progress or you haven't moved up in life. Mama, you keep reminiscing on a time that doesn't exist anymore. No one lives there. Just you. So I'm hoping with this new era, this new energy, I can continue to do this in the way that I can. Because I'm not, the expectation that I had for myself of, like, it needs to be weekly. No, it needs to be bi-weekly. Like, it needs to be an hour. Like, fuck, if you get 34 minutes from me, you get 34 minutes from me. Hey, like, cool. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, that is not something in my capacity. Maybe one of these days, further along the line, I'm back to an hour episodes. Or maybe every now and then you'll get an hour. But I'm not doing that shit. Like, I'd rather give y'all something than nothing at all, like I have been. Like, I want to give y'all good stories, good talks, just like a mini tiny escape. Like, if it's 34 minutes, it's 34 minutes. If it's 20 minutes, it's 20 minutes. If it's an hour, it's an hour. I'm just, like, sick and tired of, like, my brain telling me, like, it needs to be a certain way when reality literally doesn't. Like, this shit is for fun. I want this to be a hobby of mine. It's something that I'm so grateful for. Like, I'm going to cry again. Like, oh my God. Like, I will always love the fact that I had the opportunity to have a radio show. Like, it opened up, like, a door that I never knew existed. I never realized how much I loved storytelling until I had a radio show. I didn't realize, like, how funny I was, how, like, motivational I could be, and how therapeutic this whole fucking thing was until I started doing it. And to think that I just wanted to throw it all away, like, I would slap a bitch. Like, what are you talking about, girl? Like, huh? And I'm just so happy that I'm, like, trying again. And I think that's another thing about this year that I want to integrate more into, like, my life is just, like, I really used to not give a fuck. And I think that's something I want to start again of, like, not trying to be, like, I don't give a fuck how I was, like, when I was in, like, 2017, because I really didn't give a fuck. But, like, I don't give a fuck in, like, this era of my life. Because I used to be so scared about how I dress, how I look like to people. And I'm, like, I don't care. I really don't care. I have people in my ear telling me, like, I need to dress more like a girl. I need to dress more feminine. I need to look like this. I need to dress like that. And I'm like, I really don't care. Like, you're just mad. I have mad steez and you don't. Like, I'm fucking sorry. Like, that sucks for you. And I'm, like, really tired of having people be in my fucking ear telling me, like, what I should do with my life. Like, I got people telling me I need to be a nurse. Like, I swear to God, you can be so good at working with people and, like, taking care of people, and you always got some an uncle, an auntie, or your dad, aka my dad, in your ear being like, I think you'd be such a great nurse. Like, I think you should be a nurse. I don't mean no fucking nurse. Like, I don't want to be a nurse. This is the whole thing. Like, I could go to nursing school. I could get a nursing degree. But do I want to be a nurse? No. Like, yeah, I can go do all those things, but do I want it? No, I don't. So, like, this year, doing the shit that I want to do so I can make myself proud and work towards a goal that I want. Again, will I ever come to fruition? Will I ever meet this goal? I don't fucking know. But the journey is what I'm looking forward to and the one that's worthwhile for me. Not even so much the end product, to be honest. It may sound like I'm already counting myself out. I'm just kind of being realistic. But I'm going to never say never, like Justin Bieber said. But that's just where I'm at right now. Like, I'm feeling very hopeful, and I haven't felt hopeful in years. I don't even think I've felt hopeful in my entire life, to be honest. Not even on something like the woe is me. Like, yeah. At my job, we talk a lot about emotions and, like, different feelings. And I've realized, like, so many emotions I probably have not felt. Like, hope. I can't really pinpoint a time where I've felt very hopeful. But now, like, I can feel it running through my veins. Like, I can really, really feel it. And I think it also, like, I want to attribute, like, this hopefulness to also, like, the people around me, like, my friends. Seeing my friends do what exactly they wanted and set their mind to is so inspiring for me. Like, I love my friends down. I love when they come visit me. I love when I visit them because they just give me a sense of purpose. They give me, like, hope that there is good out there because they are good. And I know I'm that person for them too. And what's crazy, I would never say that because I'm really, like, self-deprecating sometimes. But I know, like, who was it? I think Grace did. Grace sent me a text on my birthday. And the way Grace sees me, I could only hope everyone sees me that way. And to know that she sees me that way makes me really happy. And I'm, like, I'm crying again. But I don't know. Like, I'm really excited for the stories I have for you because, yeah, I've been gone for, like, 7 months. And you best believe, like, I have fucking stories for y'all. Because one thing about me is that, yo, Eleanor is always going to have a fucking story. It doesn't matter where I go, who I'm with. Things are always going to happen to me. And that's something very exciting about life, especially at least for me. I feel like just how I carry myself and where I'm at certain times, there's always a story. And boy, do I have the stories for you, mama. Like, they're hella good too. Maybe I'll bring some people on because I went to, where did I go? I went to Mexico for a music festival. Man, oh man, do I have a story for y'all. Stories for y'all. I went to Vegas for my friend's birthday. Brothers, you're not ready for that. I just have so much to tell you. You've missed so much on Glee, and I can't wait to let y'all know what's been going on. But there's good things on the horizon, and this is not me being like, oh, I'm sad, but, like, I'll be better. Like, no, like, this is the hope talking. There are good things on the horizon, things to look forward to. Like, I have Coachella soon. I'm going skiing next month. Like, there's so much to look forward to, and I'm finally excited for these things. I think the whole last year, I did a bunch of exciting things, but I think I was more excited for the other people I was around rather than for myself. But this time, like, I can feel the excitement. Like, I'm excited. But yes, that's what's been going on. This is my Sylvia Plath episode. The Bell Jar was a book that I read that really inspired me, not because I thought it was, like, the best piece of literature, but because I thought it was so real. I would recommend it to everybody to read. I will say there are some stuff that she says I'm like, huh, yeah. Also, just, like, remember the time period, because people always gas that book up, and then I was reading it, and I was like, did she just say, what about an Asian man in an elevator? Or, like, how did she just describe this Peruvian man? Like, yeah, some of the shit she says are kind of out of pocket and kind of disrespectful. But just reading it made me kind of, like, it, like, opened my eyes to know, like, how I'm feeling or, like, how's behaving is not, like, an isolated thing. Like, there's other people thinking and feeling that way, too. But, yeah. I hope y'all enjoy this episode, and I can't wait to talk to y'all again. Goodbye!